Good morning. We're learning the 17th chapter in Sefer Shmuel Aleph. We are up to Pasuk Chaf Tet, verse 29. And today's learning is L'Zecher Nishmat, in memory of Chaya Eka Bela Bas Gabriel Velea, whose yard site is this Friday. Okay. So we'll have her in mind. Okay. Pasuk Chaf Tet, verse 29. Okay. We are in the middle of this chapter discussing the famous episode of David and Goliath. It's not the kids banging against the walls. They're renovating the bathroom upstairs.
Well,
at least I hope that's what it is. Can't promise. Anyway. Well, what can I say? Up until this point, on verse 29 on page 112, which is where we're up to, is this huge guy by the name of Goliath, who is one of the Plishtim, said that I want to be able to fight man against man, one-on-one, and whoever will be the victor will in turn be the person, be the nation that will rule over the other. And everyone looked at this guy and said, there's no way we can possibly defeat him. He's too powerful, he's too strong. And because of this, they said, we might as well just fight army against army. That might be the better bet, because to fight him one against one, there's not a single person that can possibly defeat him. He's just too powerful, too strong. In the meantime, David was instructed by his father, Yishai, to go and to see how his three of his older brothers were doing, because three of his older brothers were on the battlefield. And there he was on the battlefield, and he heard that anyone that would defeat this powerful man would be given tremendous reward. Not only a financial reward, but also end up marrying the daughter of the king, the daughter of Shaul. And what he was trying to do is trying to cause people to be a little bit more excited about this deal. And he kept asking people over and over, what will the reward be for defeating him? What will be the reward? And at this point, David's older or eldest brother heard about this, and he was very upset because he understood that it sounded like David, his little brother, wanted to actually fight. And certainly he was of no match to this huge man. So now we're at the Pasuk Chaf Tet. Vayomer David, and David said back to his brother on page 112, Me asisi ata, what did I do now? I hear that a lot from little kids. What did I do now? Hello, Davar who? All I am doing is words. That's all I've been doing up until this point is words. And if we look at the Masudas David over here, which is about four lines, fifth line, Me'asisiata. So the Masudas David really explains this in greater detail. And he says, Ka'omer, when it was said, like that which is said, Im Darchacha Likosalai. I know you with this tremendous sibling rivalry, you always like getting angry at me. And I'm just a nice little boy. Whenever I do something bad, you always criticize me, big brother. But Mazek Asata, why are you getting mad at me now? Hell Atam now, Lo Asisim Uma, I didn't do anything. Rak Devarim Ba'alma Dibarti, all I did was speak. I didn't do anything. So why are you making such a big deal? I didn't fight him. So all I'm doing is trying to get people a little bit more interested in fighting him, but I didn't necessarily volunteer myself to fight against this huge man. Now, some people actually interpret the words, which is very specific. The pasuk tells us, "What did I do now?" Me'asisi ata. What did I do now? Which implies, in the future, I will do something. Right now, I haven't done anything, but I can promise you what I'm saying is I haven't done anything yet. But you can be rest assured, soon enough I will do something. And it's brought down that This teaches us a very important lesson of human relationships. We find that sometimes when a person is extremely angry at you and they start yelling at you, what's the most logical way to respond? Very often, we get defensive and we strike back with our words, very harsh. But usually what that accomplishes is it just escalates the whole encounter. It ends up becoming blown out of proportion. The Gemara actually tells us that when a person is angry, you're not supposed to ask for their forgiveness. If they're angry at you, you did something wrong, and they're still mad at you, you shouldn't go up to them and say, "Oh, I'm sorry," because they're not ready to hear it. David had every right to be able to fight Goliath, because after all, he was already anointed as the king. And he should be able to, with his tremendous Ruach HaKodesh, his tremendous power, to be able to defeat anyone, even a giant, who cares, anyone. But he didn't speak to his brother in a defensive manner. Rather, he did it with tremendous humility. He spoke humbly. He said, I didn't do anything wrong. And that's the best way, that's the best medicine to be able to respond to a person who is attacking you. Be humble. Don't attack them back because they're not willing to listen. That's the message of David. Continuing the next pasuk, pasuk lam. And he turned away from his brother. He was done with his conversation with him. And he went el mulacher, he went another direction. Vayomer kadavar hazan, he said the exact same thing. Every person on page 112, the very top pasuk lamin we're up to, verse 30, he now continued to say the same thing. He kept asking, what's the reward for defeating this huge guy? And of course, the answers were all the same. Yashivuhu am davar kadavar harisha. And they responded, they answered, they retorted the exact same way that he heard initially. That he'll get the reward, the money, the wife, the marriage, whatever, all these things. So the question is, why did he keep saying it? Does he have short-term memory loss? He keeps asking the same question, hearing the exact same answer. So the Mefarshim explained that David was trying to call attention to himself, to try to let everyone know that this is the person that's the most interested in fighting Goliath. And because of this, Pasuk Lamed Aleph Yish Shamu Hadavarim Asher Diber David, people were hearing the words that David was saying. The Yagidu Lifnei Shaul V'Kachegu. So they told the king himself, Shaul, and they took him. They took David to Shaul. Because no one even wanted to say a word. Because if you maybe start speaking about it, that would give the impression that you're interested in volunteering to basically give up your life. Because there's no way anyone could defeat this guy. He's a trained killer, and his armor from head to toe is impossible to defeat him. So there's only one person, this little guy, he was 29, but he certainly was not trained, as we'll see in battle. But he was the only one willing to even talk about it. So therefore, because of this, they pushed him in front of the king, summoned him to speak to the king, because maybe he, in fact, will be the one who will have to fight Goliath. Pasuk Lamed Beis. V'yomer David el Shaul. So David began speaking to the king, which, of course, David and Shaul were not strangers. David and Shaul already had a relationship. David was already playing his musical instrument, the harp, in front of him anytime that he had this ruach ra, anytime Shaul was having headaches. David would play the music to soothe him down, to soothe him and calm him. So David began to speak to Shaul, and he said, Al yipol lev adam alav. Do not allow a person's heart to become lost because of this person. Avdecha yelech v'nilchamim plishti hazeh. Let your servant go forth and fight against this Philistine. I will be able to fight him. So this is what David's saying. He's saying, I will do it. Don't be worried about him. Who is he? He's some guy. Who cares? We'll fight him and we'll win. So Shaul said, one second. I appreciate your, that you're so interested in volunteering over here. But look at you. You're a nobody. Look, physically, you're not strong. You don't have talents of war. But Yomer Shaul David, Lo Sucha Lelecha Sal Plishti, is that you have no chance of fighting against this guy. To wage war against him. After all, let's compare. Let's put the two of you on a scale. He's going to outweigh you. Ki nar ata, you are a nar. You're a nar generally means like a teenager, an adolescent. He was 29 years old. But a nar means that he was underqualified to fight this guy. Vahu ish milchama minurav. And this person was a warrior. He's a man of war from his youth. He didn't just start fighting. He's been fighting wars constantly. And as we recall, when Goliath was trying to incite the Jewish people, he reminded them of the previous war, which we saw in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, that he was instrumental in killing Hophni and Pinchas, as well, which were the children of Eli, as well as taking the Aron, the Holy Ark, away from the Jewish people. So this guy was a very talented man as far as in the battlefield. And look at you, David. You're just a simple man. You have no shot in being able to defend yourself against him. And the way it's understood is that Shaul looked at David and said, if you're able to win this battle, it can only be done l'malo min ha-teva, through a nes, so in a miraculous fashion. But you're not allowed to be somech on a nes. We're not allowed to rely that God's going to perform this miracle. If God's definitely going to perform a miracle, then anyone could fight it. But we can't be 100% certain that that's what's going to happen. We have to fight this war through nature. And based on Teva, there's no way you can defeat this person. Shaul understood, of course, you know, he was a very knowledgeable man, as we've seen, and he also had a relationship with Hashem. Obviously, if Hashem is going to intervene, then the Jewish people will win. But he's saying that based on, unless God somehow intervenes, there's no way you're going to be victorious against this huge giant. Pasuk Lamed Dalet, okay. Vayomer David El Shaul. So David continues and he responds to Shaul. He says, Roa hoya abdecha l'aviv batzon. I want to pull out my CV. I want to show you my resume. What my resume is for war? I was a shepherd. Okay, that doesn't really qualify you to be a brave warrior. But I was watching my sheep one day. I want to tell you a little story. Ready for a little story, King? Uvah ha'ariv es hadov. There were two beasts that came upon my sheep. A lion and a dove, a bear. Venasa se meha eder. And one of my little sheep were taken away from the flock. And you'll notice, you'll see that the word, it says se, but if you look on the side, it's ze. The way that it is written is not the way it is read. We read it as se, but also there's the girsa change of ze, which literally means Venasa ze meha eder, that this came from my flock. We're going to discuss that in greater detail in a moment. We'll understand the story a little bit better. Then we'll see on the bottom of page 113 in the English the difference between se, sheep, and ze, this. But we'll continue for a moment in the next pasuk. Pasuk Lamed Hei tells us, V'yatsasi acharav v'hikesiv hitzalti mipiv. So what happened? A little sheep went by. I didn't say, big deal. It's, so it's one animal. I went after it. I'm not going to allow some measly little lion or a bear to take my sheep. I'm going to chase after that lion. V'hikesiv v'hitzalti mipiv. I hit the animal, this beast, and I grabbed it out of its mouth. V'yakim olai, and the animals approached me. V'chazakti b'zikono, and I grabbed hold of it by its beard, by its mane. V'kisiv himisiv, and I hit it, and it died. That shows you my tremendous power, my tremendous strength. That I was even able, I look like I'm not very qualified. But not only can I defeat a man, I can even fight and destroy a lion and a bear, a powerful bear. So if we look, what exactly does this mean, se and zeh? So if you look on the English over here, quoting the words of the Vilna Gaon, very interesting, why does it say zeh if it's really talking about the sheep was taken? So he says, and I'll read it, the word is spelled zeh, which is on the bottom of 113 in English. If we have it, we have that, right? And read seh, sheep. David wanted always to remember the miracle that enabled him to kill a lion and a bear at the same time, so he made himself a garment from the sheep's skin. So he saved the sheep, and they ended up killing it to make a little coat for himself. The word this indicates that David pointed to the sheepskin when he told Shaul the story. So he was actually wearing a nice mink coat in the middle of the battlefield. Well, it was made out of sheep wool. And he was saying, look at Zeh, Venasa Zeh Me'eder. This came from the, was taken away from me. So it's really the same thing. Seh and Zeh is the same thing. It's talking about the sheep. But Zeh, he's pointing to his coat, which he made from that sheep. And the significance, as the Vilna Gaon tells us, it's not just enough that he decided to make this nice little coat for himself. Why did he do this? He did it because he constantly wanted to remember the Nes. He constantly wanted to remember the miracle that happened to him. And it's brought down, actually, in another Sefer, with discussing the idea of miracles, miraculous things, in the Sefer Ha'aros, with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, which were in this week's Parsha, Moshe is chosen to be the candidate to release the Jewish people from bondage, from slavery. And he turns to Hashem, he says, look at me, I'm an Arl Safasayim. I can't speak, I'm not a good speaker. How am I supposed to be able to persuade a king to release all of his soul, all of his servants? Doesn't make any sense. Not going to happen. So the Mefarshim ask, why if Moshe Rabbeinu, who had such an incredible relationship, so much so that when Hashem wanted to destroy the Jewish people, he was able to intervene and he was able to get that decree removed. He was able to do all different things. That he was able to heal his sister who had this saras. So why didn't he turn to Hashem and also remove the Arul Sosayim, after he left Egypt? Why didn't he ever pray for that? So some explain that if he would have done so, maybe Hashem would have released that concern, that this speech impediment. So the Sefer Aros explains that he purposely wanted to remain Arul Sosayim his entire life. Why? Because the question, why was he chosen? It was a good question. If he's, in fact, unable to speak, why would you choose him? And the answer is that no one should ever say, do you know how the Jewish people left? It's because they had some smooth talker who was able to somehow maneuver and manipulate with his words the king, and that's how he got everyone out. No, he purposely chose someone who had the disability to be able to speak well, who could not speak in an impressive manner, that's the person that's going to speak to the king, and nonetheless they're going to leave. So it was miraculous, the person that was chosen that would be the one who would be instrumental in trying to persuade someone to have the Jewish people leave. So therefore Moshe also did not want this nes, this miracle, that his lack of speech would be removed from him, so that he would constantly be reminded of the nes, the miracle that happened to him. So similarly, we can say it's the same idea here, that David looked at this as not just a freak thing, was a coincidence, but he wanted to be constantly reminded of this miracle, and that's the reason why he always wore this coat, regardless of where he was, because he lived in a miraculous fashion. And some also explain, we just had the story of the end of last week's Parsha, Yosef. Yosef died at a very young age. He died at the age of 110. And it's interesting, if you look at the numerical value, the gematria of the word nes, a nun is 50, and a samach, which is the next letter, is 60 equals 110. And Yosef also was someone that lived as a nes in a miraculous manner. And that's how he carried his whole life. That when you looked at Yosef, you looked at the way that he was able to contain and remain religious under the circumstance that he was in such a corrupt society, that itself was a nace, was also miraculous. So this is what David did. He wore this special coat, and he said, "Look, this is what I did. This is what I'm wearing." Okay.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Did David sort of have the confidence to go ahead and tell this story to Shaul, because he felt that the way Shaul was talking to him, that Shaul no longer really believed in God's help? He had lost some of that.
Could be.
Some of that belief.
Right, because he himself lost that connection.
He didn't do it, he didn't send anyone out to do it.
Right.
He didn't believe that it could happen.
Right. Which you're going to end up seeing that in a few moments when he does convince Shaul that he has this ability, it's going to, on one hand, be good because now he'll realize that David should fight. But on the other hand, there's going to be an ayin hara that Shaul's going to look at him and say, gee, look at him. How is God with him and not with me anymore? So we're going to see that that could work against David, because certainly when you're about to put your life on the line, you don't want someone to give you an ayin hara. That's what we're going to see in a few moments when we get to the Rashi and Pasuk Lamed Ches. But that's a very, very valid point. Okay, we're going to continue with this story, which is on Pasuk Lamed Vav. Lamed Vav, Gam es ari gam hadov hika avdecha. So I was able to smite the lion and the bear. V'haya ha-pilishti ha-aral hazeh, this worthless Philistine, ka'achem mehem, he's just only like one of these animals. Ki cheref mi'arkos elukim chayim, because he disgraced and humiliated Hashem's army. And as we described before, what David looked at as this Goliath person was, he was a Russian. To blaspheme and to speak so ill of the Jewish people, he's a Rasha, a wicked person. And a Rasha, a wicked person, just like we find a person who's on death row, we say, like, dead man walking, he's a dead man. So therefore, the same thing. He's already dead. So therefore, what sechut, what merit does this guy have? He has nothing. So he can easily be attacked. He's no better than the lion or the bear. And therefore, because of this, I certainly have the ability to attack and defeat him. Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Vayomer David, and so Vayomer David, then David continued and said, Hashem, Asher Hitzilani Miad Ari Miad Hadov, Hashem, who was with me with regard to fighting against the lion and the bear, Hu Yatzilenu Miad HaPilishti Hazeh, he will also be with me to fight and defeat this Philistine. Vayomer Shaul El David, and then Shaul, realizing that David had this incredible ability, said, Lech, go, Vashem Ye'imach, and may God be with you. And that's, therefore, we now see Hashem Ye'imach, perhaps, again, is this line of reasoning that Shaul initially thought, God's not with you, God's not with anyone, and therefore, based on Teva, you're not going to win. And he said, no, it's not true, God is with me, I am able to defeat him, just as I was able to defeat these wild beasts. And Rashi tells us over here on Pasuk Lamed Zayin, how did he look at this story, the story of the lion and the bear? Hashem asher hitzilani miyad ha'ari, says Rashi, yodeani, I knew, shelo l'chinam nizdamin li hadavar hahu. I know that this thing, this incident that occurred to me many years back, it was not for nothing that it happened to me. Hashem's not going to just do a miracle for no good reason. Ella, the reason why Hashem did this, allowed me to somehow miraculously defeat the lion and the bear, is shil asid in the future anibal liyadi kiyotziba with Yeshua's Israel, that I would be able to have the strength and self-confidence with myself to also be able to defeat another powerful being, to be able to save the Jewish people. And therefore, because of this, I'm going to rely upon this to be able to be victorious against my enemy, Goliath. So therefore, we see from here this message, an interesting idea. What David is learning is that when things happen to us, they don't happen for no reason. Sometimes we don't see it or understand why things happen, or the experiences that we encounter, that we have, or the people we encounter. But if we look at everything as a life experience that we can learn from, that in the future we could remember certain things that happened, for better or for worse, then that's the approach which a tzaddik like David had. And that's what he said. Just as Hashem was able to cause me to win and defeat these animals, Hashem wouldn't do that for no reason. Must be he was giving me the self-confidence to be able to be successful and to defeat others. Okay. Continuing with the next pasuk Lamed Ches. So, David is now the man. He is the guy who is going to defeat, hopefully, this huge giant. Or maybe he'll lose, you know? What are we supposed to do? But he was certainly willing to fight. And Shaul realized that he actually now has a chance because God will be with him. Hashem Yehimach. Now, how is he supposed to prepare for battle? After all, you have on one side this Philistine, which pasuk after pasuk discusses his helmet, his armor, all the different shields and swords, all this weaponry that he was carrying. He even had someone behind him to protect him. He was fully protected. How about David? Now David is ready to fight. So what should he do? Just throw him in the middle of the battlefield with nothing but a t-shirt and shorts? Probably not a good idea. Therefore, Pasuk Lamed Ches tells us, V'yalbesh Shaul as David Madav. That Shaul began to dress David in Madav, which Mesudas Sion says Mavushav, which is a type of garment, specifically armor, but not his own armor. Shaul lend his armor, which he wore when Shaul was involved in battle, he gave it to David, so he should have some protection. So you can imagine David HaMelech in a full army, in a full armor body suit. But Nasan Kova Nechoshes Al Rosho. Not only was he wearing the suit, but he was also wearing this hat made out of copper put on his head. Vayalbesh Oson, he was wearing it. Continuing on the next page, Shirion, he was wearing this body of armor. Okay, so big deal. So he's wearing some nice armor. What's the big deal? Yes.
I don't know if there's anything to this, but it says Eskavid Madov, meaning his. Was it actually his?
Yes. It was actually Shaul's armor. And the question is, why do we need to know that? Why is that significant? So Rashi tells us there was actually a miracle that happened. What was the miracle? So let's see the Rashi on the bottom, turning back to page 112. Rashi tells us something unusual about this particular armor. Rashi says, Nevchu, very bottom of the page on 112, it turned, Lios Kaminas David, to be the exact same measure for David. Now David might have been wearing, he might be a 42 regular, that's his suit, that's the size that he wears. For some reason, this armor miraculously changed. Let's see if it got bigger or smaller. Mishanimshach Meshemen Amishcha. From the moment that David was anointed with this oil, gave him special powers that Hashem obviously watched over him and allowed miracles to continuously occur for him. Ashahayu shel Shaul shahayu gavoh mikol am. Let's not forget, Shaul, one of his characteristics, which was the reason he was tall. How tall was he? The Pasuk told us in Perek Tet, in the 9th chapter, Meshich Mavamala. He was heads and shoulders above everyone else. You can imagine, a huge guy. He was almost like a giant himself. Right? He was a very tall man. Now the question is, the hat, you know, you have a lot of hats, one size fits all. But a person's armor, that's, and certainly a king, it's going to fit exactly, they make it to his body proportions. So why was it possible? How was it possible that it fit him? Which obviously David was much smaller. It was a miracle. It shows that again, God is with him. Terrific. God's with him. But David sensed that there was something wrong with that. Kivan Shirah Shaul Kane. Because once Shaul noticed, hey, how did this fit him? Hichnis bo ayin hara. Behirgish David Bedavar. He looked at David in a very different way. David, who was already in the palace, and now David, who potentially can end up marrying the princess. What's going on over here? Gave him an ayin hara. Which, the question that some ask is, well, if I know that I'm 2 feet taller than everyone else, why would I put the armor on? Perhaps this was Shaul's way of testing to see how miraculous was this guy. He already saw that God was with him. He was able to defeat wild beasts. Let's see if miracles happen that clothes will shrink. Like you put it in the dryer and all of a sudden the armor will shrink. And all of a sudden it did. So therefore Shaul realized, well, this guy might be the one taking over my position. Shaul knew that he made mistakes. Shaul knew he made the mistake of Amalek, and he was told by Shmuel that he was not going to remain the king. So he was just looking around, figuring out who's going to be the next king. He's looking at David and saying, you know what? This guy might take my position of power, and I don't like it one bit.
But on the other hand, Shaul was very relieved to have David going fight against Goliath. Because Shaul actually being the king, he was supposed to be the giant himself, he was supposed to go and fight. So here, once he puts, that's one of the reasons I think that he gave him his uniform and the whole thing. Go, as long as I don't have to go.
Because we, it's very true, because we learned the previous war, the very beginning, the Aseret HaDibros, the Ten Commandments, Decalogue, somehow was taken out of the Aron, was brought back to Eli. And Rashi over there said that Shaul was the one who was, he was a warrior before he was a king. And he was able to get them out of the Aron. Who had the Aron? This guy, Goliath. So Goliath really was probably wanting to fight the king himself. And therefore, right, we see that the... That's the symbolism over here. The changing of the armor shows that really I'm supposed to fight, but instead you are. But nonetheless, some form of an ayin hara was developed because he realizes that he may take over my position of power. Continuing on page 114, Pasuk Lamed Tet. Now, David understood this. The person's staring at you, giving you an ayin hara. Now, this guy, he can feel it. And David was concerned about that. And here he was wearing this armor. But Yachor David, as Harbo, David takes his sword, which we're going to see, he didn't even fight with his sword, which we know he ends up killing him with a slingshot. But the significance of the sword is that if you only had someone with a slingshot, right, you know that it only has the capacity of going a certain distance. We're going to see that Goliath approaches him because he sees that he has a sword. So he thinks it's just going to be a sword fight. And then he takes out his slingshot when he's close enough to be able, and he has no, he can't defend himself and he gets killed. So some explain that's the significance of why David has the sword, even though he's not trained with the sword, and he doesn't use it at all. So David takes the sword, Mi'al Lamadov, and he takes it with his garments, and he's ready to go. He's ready to start marching onto that battlefield, fighting this guy, Kilonisa. But he was unable to do so. He was unable to move forward. Yomer David el Shaul, and David said, "You know what? Lo uchal leches be'el. I can't walk with this stuff. It's a little stiff. You know, it's like new shoes. I can't move with this army. Kilo Nisisi." And the way it's translated over here is, I'm not accustomed to it. I don't know how to walk around with this stuff. I'm not a trained soldier, as you know. So, we'll see another explanation in a moment. V'yasirim David mi'olav. So David removed these garments from upon him. So we look at Rashi. Rashi says, what does it mean that kilo nisisi? Not that I'm not accustomed to it, but it comes from the word nes. Kilo nes. It would not be a miracle, will no longer be miraculous, because again, the only way that David is able to defeat him is through Hashem's intervention. So if he has to wear this armor, so it gives the impression that really Hashem's not involved, that I'm fighting al piderach hateva. If we look at this Rashi says that, kilo nesisi, Ein shivcho al neis v'kach. It will be a miracle. There's no way I can defeat him. But if I'm wearing armor, people are going to not realize that it's a miracle. And therefore, I want to remove and rid myself of this armor so that I will be able to give a greater publicizing of this particular miracle. Some also explain that because David saw this ayin hara, which was upon him, and it was these garments that were giving him the ayin hara, that it shrunk, he realized that he would not be able to defeat Goliath wearing these garments. So he had to remove them from himself, because otherwise the ayin hara would be on him from the king, and therefore he wanted them to be removed for that reason as well, so that in turn the ayin hara, the evil eye, will be removed from him as well. Okay, continue with Pasuk Mem. Pasuk Mem tells us, Vayikach, so now here he is, just wearing his street clothes, or his shepherd's clothes. Vayikach maklo biyado, and he takes a little staff. He has a sword, now he has a little staff. We'll see the significance of that. It's actually extremely significant, we'll see in a moment, in his hand. Vayimcher lo chamisha chaluki avanim, and he takes five smooth stones. The question is, if it was a miracle, and we're going to see he only needs one to kill the guy, why does he need five? What's the significance of five? We'll see. The Radak discusses what's five, which we can imagine what it is. Lo chamisha chaluki avanim. So he takes these five stones, from the nachal, from the brook, from the stream, right? Vayasim osam bekli haroim, and he puts it into the vessel for shepherds, asher lo, which is for him. Vayalkut, and he puts in his yalkut, which the Mesudas Sion over here tells us, who kain sak. A suim or, it's a leather sack. Yosim bo haroach vatzav, that the shepherds put their things in it. Mashalokit b'derech mahalcha v'zeh yikur yalkut. So it's a type of sack that he had with him, which is for shepherds. And so he put that. V'kal b'yado, and he had his slingshot in his hands for those five smooth stones. V'yigash el ha-pilishtin, he began ever so slowly approaching this Philistine to wage war against Goliath. Okay, so let's see a few things over here. Let's start off with Rashi and Pasuk Mem. What is the Rashi just tells us, as we already translated, the Chelki Avanim is Avanim Dakot, the Chelkot. There are small, very smooth stones. And we saw that the Pasuk tells us that he took five of them. Why five? So let's see the Radak. The Radak tells us, Chamisha Chalki Avanim, skipping one line, quotes the Medrash Shmuel. Lama Chamisha. Why did he take five stones? After all, if it's a miracle, one is enough, right? Why should you need more than one? So, Echad, so he says, one is with Shmo Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu. One is to, when he's fighting, he's not just fighting a physical war, but he's connecting himself to spirituality at that, during the war. And that very rock, which is going to kill this guy, hopefully, represents the oneness of God's name. The Echad, and another one with Shmo Shel Aharon, is to represent Aharon. Aharon, who is a person who is Oev Shalom Verode Shalom, who loves and pursues peace. Nonetheless, there are times, in order to be able to accomplish peace, unfortunately war is a necessity. And therefore, Aharon also sometimes will be involved, engaged in war. V'shlosha, so what is the purpose of the other three? Says the Radak, v'shlosha avot, to remember Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the patriarchs. Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, v'chilo lifnei chinam v'gadif, Olai lefarim imenu. Is it not in front of this blasphemer, this person who curses me? This is the person I'm going to pay back. Omer Aaron, says Aaron, v'chilo goel hadamani, olai lefarim imenu. Omer avos, v'chilo alenu lefarim imenu. So basically what the Radak is saying is that when Hashem and Aaron and the avos are looking at this story which is unfolding, they say, how could we allow this Russia, this wicked person, Goliath, to be victorious? And we can continue on the first wide line in the Radak, the parish, Aharon, Shahaya Goel Hadam, Dan Shel Chafni Ufinchas. Aharon was the Goel Hadam. A Goel Hadam is a person, if someone murders, kills another, your relative, inadvertently, generally they run to the cities of refuge, Ari Mikvah. So if you do not, instead I'm not going to that city of refuge, I'm going to stay in my house. The Goel Hadam, the next of kin, a relative of the person who was there was manslaughter upon, has the right to attack you. So Aharon, who was the Kohen, was the Goel Hadam for Chafni and Pinchas, who were also Shaharyu Kohanim. Shahargam that were killed, Shahargam Imenu, because we said that Goliath killed these Kohanim. So Aharon has the right to be able to attack, and therefore David will be the vehicle in which will allow the Goel Hadam to seek the revenge that the Torah allows. And then we continue the last line of which we're going to see of the Radak. The Medrash Shmuel says, Chamisha Chalukei Avanim, Malami comes to teach us these five smooth stones, Shnizkane David al Goliath al Chamisha, that David was attacking him upon five things. Shaviza Begida Fecharev Chamisha Chumshi Torah, because he blasphemed and cursed the Torah itself, which represents the five books of the Torah, and therefore with the Zechus, the merit of the five books of the Torah, which he blasphemed against, let those five attack and seek the revenge that that is deserved of them. So therefore, that's how it's explained, the significance of the five. However, before we continue, we notice at the very beginning of this pasuk and pasuk mem, v'yikach maklo. He has this slingshot. Okay, that's what he's going to use to kill the guy. The sword, you know, just in case, and also to kind of give him the perception that that's what he's going to fight with. But what's the difference? What's the purpose of this staff? What does he need this this staff for? So the Yalkut tells us a very interesting statement about what the staff represents. This was not just David's staff. He says, Shezeh hoya hamateh shel Yaakov. This was the very same staff that Yaakov Avinu had when he crossed the Yarden, when he split the sea. And there was a miracle upon that, which he acknowledges himself when he was speaking to Hashem, that he was afraid that he would end up being killed by Esav. He said, you know, I might have lost all my merits because I look at this staff, which I split the sea with. So that was the same staff. And that was the same staff, V'hu haya biyad Moshe. Moshe, V'hu haya biyad Aharon. V'hu haya biyad David. This staff was passed on, similar to, as we saw in last week's Parsha, that Yehuda had this scepter. Right? Lo yasser shevet Yisrael, the shevet, this royal scepter, also this, exactly what this shevet is, it's not just a piece of wood, but it represents the miracles that would happen to anyone who held this staff. Shnemar v'yikach maklo biyadon. That's the reason why when David went to fight against Goliath, he purposely took this staff, this piece of wood, in his hand. And through that merit and the connection of all the other people that were holding it, the avos, which is with the connection to the radak and the five stones, would be the reason why they'd be able to be victorious. And then he continues very interestingly. We have a little song. We sing a song at the very end of Pesach night, Chad Gadya. And the Chad Gadya, we have, you know, one little kid, one little goat, and it's like, what is this, a little kid's song? The reality is it has a lot of deep Kabbalah, deep mysticism attached to it. And one of the lines in Chad Gadya is, V'asa chutra v'hika l'kalba. Let the staff come and let it hit kalba, which is Aramaic for kelev. Aramaic, a lot of times they just add the letter aleph to the word. So we look, jumping, actually only a couple psukim, to pasuk mem gimel. You'll see pasuk mem gimel, when there's a dialogue between Goliath and David, Goliath says, Vayomer plishti el David, hakelev anochi? He says it like, am I a dog? But really, he's saying, Kelev Anochi, I am a dog, I'm an animal. And therefore, some say that that's the significance of the Chad Gadya song, the Asa Chutra, that this staff, the one who's holding the staff, David, Hikul Kalba, will have the ability to attack and defeat the Kelev, which the Polishti, the Philistine Goliath himself, says that he is. And that's how some explain the significance of why David purposely carried this staff, this royal scepter with him, Because just as the previous people before that held it, miracles happened to them, so too a miracle will occur to David as well. Let's see just another couple of psukim, then we'll stop. Pasuk Mem Aleph. Vayelech ha-pilishti hoylech v'karev el David. So David was ever so slowly approaching Goliath, and the Philistines saw, oh my gosh, this guy must be the one who wants to fight me. This is a joke. I'm going to win in a minute. So he started coming close to David. Va'ish nose hatsina lefanav. And as he began coming closer, the person who was holding the shield also was before him. So he was being protected tremendously, not only by his armor, but also by the people, and someone in front of him. Va'yabet ha-pilishti. So the Philistine looked at this little guy. He looked way down. V'yiras David, and he saw this little guy, David. V'yivzegu, he started humiliating him, making fun of him. It was a joke. Look at this guy. Kihaya nar, he's a little boy. Vadmoni, he has like reddish hair. Imifemara, and he's so nice to look at. Does he need to know that he's so handsome? Right, he's trying to put him in the next cover for GQ. The reason why he's saying that he was Yafei Mara is anyone who fights in the battlefield, you'll probably see on their body, scars all over their face, on their bodies. It's not a pleasant sight. So this guy is Yafei Mara. He's a nice, pretty boy. He probably never fought anyone, which basically is the truth. So he's like, this is the guy that you choose. Vayomer ha-pilishti el David. So Goliath says to David, here's the words, Hakelav Anochi, I am a dog. Am I likened to a dog? Kiata Boilai, but Makalos, I see you have a staff. You're coming against me with a staff, and again, that's the connection, the staff against the dog. What are you going to do? You're going to hit me with a little stick? That's what you have that for. The Kalil HaPilishti is David, Be'elohav, rather. And David was being cursed by his God, lowercase g. This will be the last pasuk we'll see. Vayomer ha-pilishti el David. And the Philistines said to David, L'cha ilai ve'etna es besarcha. Why don't you come to me, and I will give your flesh l'ov ha-shamayim. I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to leave you bleeding to death on the battlefield. And who is going to devour your flesh? The Ov HaShemayim, the vultures, the birds floating around in the sky. Ubehema Sasada. And the behema, the domesticated animals that are in the Sada, wild in the field. And that, those two words, were the greatest words of encouragement for David. And those two words, Ubehema Sasada, was reason enough for David to realize, I know now I will win. We're going to see he will win next week. But what's a little behemas asada? What is behemas asada? So what does Rashi say? This is where we'll conclude with. Behemas asada, ein derech lebehemos leechel adam. A nice domesticated animal, a cow, right? Last time I checked, cows don't like eating people, right? They like eating grass mostly, right? They don't like chowing down on people. And that's what a behema is. There's two different types of categories of animals. Behema, domesticated, and a chaya is a wild or undomesticated animal. So Amr David said, he said, behema sasada, the nice little delicate animals, like a nice little cow is going to eat, consume my flesh. Amar David, he said, Kfar nitva daitu shelzeh. I see that his mind is not straight. He's not thinking correctly. He's not able to answer me properly. Shalihu, he's mine. Bud David v'amar lo, came David and he said, Menosati peger machne plishtim l'chayis aretz. We're going to see next week his response, which will be the end of verse 46. He says that I will defeat you, and it will be the chayis aretz, the wild beasts, the lions will be the ones that will devour your flesh. But David saw that he no longer was able to think correctly, and therefore that could have taught him two things. Either because he wasn't thinking carefully, it means that Hashem is purposely twisting his mind, therefore I can dominate over him, or perhaps he's scared. He's so scared that he's saying things that he doesn't understand. And therefore, because of this, I know that he is in my hands. Stop here.